Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead End Sports. We're back. It's August 1st. We were gone for what, a month?
Yeah, about a month.
Yeah, a lot has happened. And look, I don't know. We're not going to get to all of it. We're going to forget some of it, I'm sure. But nevertheless, over time, I'm sure. The thing about sports is these storylines always come back around one way or the other. So, and then, you know, most of the stuff that happened was basketball related. We'll obviously talk about the big stuff, but you know, those smaller stories, we don't get to it, we get to it at some point. So, anyway.
I think the last show recorded was with you, Kyle, and Manny, when y'all did the reaction to LeBron signing to the Lakers.
Which happened the night that we finished recording,
right.
Which was crazy. I haven't even released that podcast yet.
Because it was just like,
I just felt conflicted. I was like, damn, man, I can't, because we spent all that time talking for nothing. And then literally it happened.
To the Lakers.
It was like, freaking nuts. But there was a good Dwight Howard conversation. I do plan on taking out of that and putting it up. And I started to do that. But I don't want to tease the people and put up a show that maybe, oh, like Dead End Sports is coming back. And then we're kind of not back yet. But we're back now. You know, football season around the corner. Major League Baseball playoffs around the corner. They just wrapped up trade season.
Yeah, which was yesterday.
Which was freaking nuts. And you know, we're back in full swing, man. So we're gonna kick things off. But before I do that, obviously I got to do the promo. First of all, if you gotta go to a game, because I need to go to a baseball game. I'm trying to go to a baseball game. I want to
check out the new stadium. It's pretty dope.
Yeah,
it's
you dope. Been? So it's you nice been?
Yeah, remember that time I had posted on Instagram? You was like, "Hey, he was fast, wasn't he? The little speedy guy."
Oh yeah, that's right, that's right, that's right, that's right. Yeah, man, it's amazing.
I went last September.
Yeah, I want to take my boys up there. So you know, before the season's out, and they're contending. Mm-hmm. So I think it'd be dope. The youngest one obviously hasn't seen a baseball game. The oldest has been in like 4 or 5 years. So we're gonna do that. If you guys are going to catch a game, make sure you guys use the code Dead End with SeatGeek. You know, you get $20 off.
Save that money.
$20 off your first time usage. So make sure you do that. Also, listen to the show, man. Shout out to everybody that listens to the show in Radio Public. That helps us out as well. So we appreciate that. And subscribe to the Is the Mike Stallone podcast. We just dropped another one. We got a whole bunch of shows that are entertaining over there. Shout out to the homie. Make sure you subscribe to 12 Kyle, 12 Kyle's podcast. Chris Platty, his podcast, and Manny, the TFP Nation podcast. I think he's changing the name.
And you know, you forgot to mention
who?
Well, about us, we are Dead End Sports is on Spotify.
Yes, sir.
We are on Spotify.
That's
now.
Right.
And hopefully, Is the Mic Still on to be next? But yes, you can working now catch us. Not only just on iTunes and SoundCloud, but you can catch us on Spotify. So please.
So we global, ain't we?
We out here, man. We out here. So nice. Look, I know people complain, man. Why don't y'all go on Spotify? Here goes one. The other one's going to be coming soon. But Dead End Sports is now on Spotify.
Checking the boxes. And B and I, we just launched a gaming show. So that'll be coming out. But listen, just to wrap this up, you guys can find all of this stuff on deadendhiphop.com. Just go to the website. Go to the Dead End Podcast. It's at the top of the page, Dead End Podcast. All the shows are there. Just hit that and check them out.
We something like media moguls, ain't we? We something like that.
We trying, man. Yeah.
We something like
that.
Just saying. Just check it out.
Putting in work. We're trying. But you know, just it's finding talented people and trying to, you know, as put them out there, you know. So, yeah, somebody had to give us a chance. And, you know, we just want to find and put out dope content that's not us. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, everybody, like, we can't cover everything, right? But we can find other people that kind of have similar voices mm-hmm. that can cover something that we can't cover or we just didn't get time to cover. Like, Manny did a whole episode on the trade season with Major League Baseball. We don't really talk baseball on here. So go listen to that because I listened to it and I agree with a lot of things he said, disagree with a lot. But, you know, it's great coverage. And, you know, some of the stuff we may have said here. So listen to that. You know, so he covers baseball where we don't really get a chance to talk about it as much. And I know you guys ask for it. And he even talks some hockey. So if we can't cover it, we'll find people that will or that does and put it out. And if we find it, we put it out, then we're signing off on it and telling you guys that it's legit. And that's how I go. So, yeah. So, anyway, I don't even know where to begin, honestly. So much has happened. And, you know, I guess we'll just start with the big news up front, and then we get to some of the most recent stuff. I don't know your thoughts on LeBron and the Lakers. This has been covered every single way possible. I've heard every single thing possible. I just stopped listening after a while because they're saying the same thing. But what I want to know, and we'll start with you, B. So the news broke, man. Like, and it's been a while. You had a chance to sit on it. What are your thoughts, man? LeBron, L.A., purple and gold.
Yeah, man. I think this is just – me personally, I think this is just him setting up for life after basketball. And what better person that can set you up for life after basketball than Magic Johnson? You know what I'm saying? We all know how successful Magic Johnson has been after the game of basketball, after he was done playing the game of playing NBA, how successful he is, you know, after NBA. And I think, you know, what better person that can mentor LeBron into getting ready for that? I mean, now granted, I'm not sitting here saying, oh, this is about to be LeBron – you know, going down peak years. I still think Brian gonna still probably put up, you know, 26-7-7. You know what I'm saying? I can see him still averaging these type of numbers in the next within this 4 years of his contract. I think definitely, it's not a pressure thing for him. I think going here, I don't think a lot of us basketball heads. I mean, I'm speaking for FIFO before he even speak, but I think we're not going into this like, oh yeah, he's gonna win a championship. Like, this roster is not a championship roster, like, right now. So, like, I think the pressure of that, and on top of him being in the Western Conference now, which is, you know, quote-unquote, tougher, I think now you cannot say, oh, yep, he's the Lakers. They're automatically going to win championship. It's not like when Durant went to Golden State. It was like, okay, championship or bust. So we know with this, with him going to the Lakers, it's not a championship or bust. Will they probably have a chance to play for a championship within the next 3 to 4 years? I believe that, but going into this season, it's more of like a, hey, let's see how you're going to go with the young
guys. Yeah, it's, you know, the narrative.
See how the coaching's going to go.
Of course, because Luke and LeBron were drafted in the same draft, right?
Same draft.
Weird as hell. Yeah. I don't think that's – I don't know if that's ever happened. Yeah. You know, we don't have statisticians like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird. But the narrative out there is that is this a rebuilding year, right? And I think we got to take the out of it. It's a building year.
Yeah.
When you have LeBron, it's a build. It's a progress and to the championship.
You're still going to have cap room for the next offseason because you didn't get to spend on that second free agent guy. So
no, it's not even now. All of these 1 year deals.
Yeah,
all of you off
Rondo,
the books.
I think Stevenson. He's
all of there. Them. McGee, everybody that they signed Rondo, except for the youngins are on one year deals.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think. To answer the question, Kent, I love the move.
It was kind of written. It was written on the wall a little bit. Like, we kind of figured L.A. at some point.
Yeah, we we knew that the move that LeBron was going to make had to be big, right? Yeah. What's bigger than L.A.?
Yeah, besides New York. I mean, New York, but, you know, yeah.
Yeah, but New York hasn't won, though.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? New York's history is because they're in New York.
Right.
How many champions? Madison Square Garden.
They haven't won since the 70s.
Exactly.
Early 70s. Walt Frazier, Earl Monroe, Willis Reed.
But the Lakers have won in damn near every decade of basketball, right?
Yeah.
So for LeBron to add to that Laker mantle adds to his legacy, right? Because LeBron, at this point in his career, right, ever since he got at least two chips, it's all about legacy, mm-hmm. right? And where was he going to go to further that legacy? I think, you know, I said I loved him in Philly, right? If he would have went there, you got the Young Bucks, you can move, you know, you have longevity.
You and Ben got the same agent.
Exactly. You know. So a lot of pieces I felt would have made sense. But going to L.A., right, it's kind of like – LeBron can't win because, oh, it's all about the rings, but he didn't go to a championship team. So, oh, people have something to say. But then he goes to a team that's, you know, poised to win a championship. Oh, all he's doing is chasing. So he can't win. But I love the L.A. move because if he's able to bring a championship to L.A.
One. Just one.
Just one.
Within these next 4 to 5 years, if he just bring one.
One chip. He's won in Cleveland, which nobody has won. He did it. Came back down, you know what I'm saying, 3-1, right? Hey, do you want me to pull up the text message? Don't make me pull up the text messages on y'all.
Right.
Right. Came back 3-1, and he won in Miami.
Went to the finals 4 straight years in Miami.
4 straight years. Got been to the chips. Finals 7 straight years, right? Or eight, or is it 8? 7?
It's 9.
9 straight years? No, it wasn't 9.
I think it was 8.
Regardless, it's better than 7, right?
2010, 11, yeah. Since 2010, he's been in the finals.
Come on,
so,
man.
Yeah, it's 2018.
Come on, man.
So, yeah.
Come on, man. 8 years, right? So, look. If LeBron wins, it's a win-win. If he don't win, we already know why. KD, Steph, Klay, Draymond, Boogie.
If they stay together all 4 years.
I've been telling y'all, unless everybody take a Boogie deal, it's not going to last. Mm-hmm. One of them dudes is going to have to
Dre
go.
Is on free agent next season.
And so KD.
They're going to want some bread.
Yeah. Like, especially
Klay. I think Klay going to definitely, because this is going to be his like first time mm-hmm. getting like a big contract. Mm-hmm. So Klay going to want some bread. Yep. So, you know, Golden State might let him walk and he might get his bread somewhere else. But, yeah, and don't be surprised. I know we kind of getting off of it. But don't mm-hmm. be surprised if, I think me and FIFA talked about this. Don't be surprised next offseason New York make a splash.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah,
make a splash.
Kyrie, they're gonna have
the cap space,
buddy.
And a lot of guys that's gonna be up for contract next year. Kyrie's from New York. I forgot about that. He's from the New York mm-hmm. area. He can go back there with Porzingis, and mm-hmm. they can add another superstar. So
and look,
big market city.
Yes,
you know?
And let's not jump the gun. But that boy Kevin Knox looking nice.
Yeah.
Looking nice.
Yeah.
And if you add a Kyrie and a Jimmy, you got Kevin as a wing.
Jimmy
defender.
Already said he wants to play with Kyrie.
Yep.
He already
said
he wanted to play with. That's why he didn't re-up on his Minnesota deal.
Yep.
So yeah, he can go to New York over there with Porzingis and Kyrie and some other pieces.
Man, that's
don't be surprised. Look, you hear it first on Diddy Sports. Don't be surprised if New York make a splash next year in the offseason, man.
But going back to LeBron, I think what better move could he have made? I think Philly, you know, it's staying in the East, continuing that legacy of making finals.
Every time,
But would he have had enough to beat Golden State?
And to piggyback, too, people get on him about going to Miami, but let's be real. Miami was like a 34 and 40-something winning team when he went to Miami. It wasn't like Miami was one game away from the finals or they was in the finals the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, when LeBron got there, they ain't playing the finals since 06 when D-Wade won it. So, you know, when he went back to Cleveland, they were like a 23-win team when he went back there, when he left Miami. So it's not like he's going to these teams that's like stocked or that's already.
Like KD did.
Yeah, KD did. So, like, people kind of get on him about that, but it's like, when he went to Miami, Miami wasn't doing nothing.
Nah, and let's be honest, wasn't that the era of the big three? Didn't Boston do it first? Yeah. Why does Boston get credit because it was traded for versus the player saying, yo, let's do this?
Or because they were old.
Right.
Exactly. Right. Come on. Look. At the end of the day, let's be honest. LeBron carried that Miami team. Yes or no?
No.
Yeah, he can't.
We're not going to stop.
I mean, Dwayne.
Ken, don't feed into this.
No, D-Wade gave him the keys. He gave him the keys.
Don't feed into this.
He gave him the keys.
Maybe year four.
No.
Year two. LeBron was carrying that team. That first year.
Not year two.
When they lost the Mavericks, LeBron wasn't ready yet.
Not year two. Don't disrespect D-Wade.
You talking about
like
when
that.
They beat OKC in year two?
Yes. Not maybe.
That's when D-Wade gave him the keys.
Exactly.
That's when D-Wade
the first year.
But he said carry. LeBron carry.
By the second year, D-Wade started getting injured, bro.
After they went on that 27-game win streak, his knees got messed up.
Why are you throwing all of these banana peels on the road right now?
I'm just saying.
D-Wade gave him the keys, man.
But that doesn't mean he carried it. Like, Wade was still an integral part of what happened.
But Wade knew that LeBron was that dude. Like, he knew. Like,
okay, let me ask you this. Yeah. Just answer this, and please do it truthfully, and don't answer with another question, please. You take LeBron off that squad, what do they do?
What do you mean? Oh, I did it.
He said, what do you mean?
I was trying not to do it. With Bosch and everybody
else. Bosch and everybody else minus Bron.
Playoff team. They're a playoff team. Not a finals team.
You take D-Wade off that squad. And you have Bron and Bosch and everybody else. What do they do?
Oh, nothing.
Can they get to the finals, bro? What is you talking about?
Because Chris Bosch went to what?
He made it to the finals this year with K-Love.
I'm talking about
Tristan Thompson.
Bosch went to
Bosch was better than all them guys.
After Dwayne Wade showed him
Chris
how to be a champion.
Bosch was better than every single player on this Cleveland roster squad.
Okay, and the point? The point? Kevin Love can't play.
I made my point.
But you said that he carried him in year two.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. No. That's just way disrespectful. You know what? Hold on. I was looking it up. I was trying to get the Basketball Reference, and you distracted me. But hold on. Where is it? They went to the finals four straight time.
Yep, they lost to Dallas.
LeBron gave up a title. So he cost Dwayne Wade a title in year one when Dwayne Wade was the man on that team.
Oh, man.
And then year two is when they played
a young OKC.
Wade was still balling.
What was the first year of the big three?
Mavericks.
They played Mavericks. But what year?
2010, 2011.
2010.
Yeah.
Right? So 2010, LeBron gets to Miami. D-Wade plays how many games, Ken? Over, under 75. Over, under.
Over.
Yes, 76. Year two, Ken, over under 60.
I can't even front because I'm looking right at it. It was under.
So then who carried the team, Ken? How they make it to the finals, Ken? Because it wasn't D-Wade. He played half the season, dog.
Yeah, That's when he gave him the keys, man.
Thank you.
Because
second year, it was LeBron's squad.
Isn't that the year they won 27 games straight? I'm sure he missed most of those games after
Look, LeBron is the reason why that team won a championship. D-Wade and Chris
And also
Bosch,
the reason why they lost one.
I give you that.
Okay.
And come on now. I'm not an apologist. I call it how it is. LeBron looked like a JV player. You roll the tape on that. I've been calling him that in that series.
I mean, he played 69 games in year three, though. And he still put up the same amount of points.
But then year after that, 54.
Similar points.
But look, Ken, that signified the breakdown of D-Wade. It was a wrap after that. He was a different player after year two. He's been on a decline.
Man, he was still
He hasn't even plateaued since.
In year three, when he played 70 games and he missed
that's
what?
When, that's when they beat San Antonio. That's when Ray Allen hit the three.
Yes. Yes. Okay, so let me backtrack. I'm getting off a little bit. Just a little bit. Year four is when he carried the team. If you want to say year two because of the amount of games Wade played, all right, fine. But he wasn't carrying the team in year three.
When they beat San Antonio. That was the reason why they beat him, though.
I mean, so? Yeah, but
do I have to make you remember the Tiago block?
But when you say what does that have to do with anything?
I'm just saying.
But carrying the team implies
you know what it implies? That's the reason why I bring out the block. Because only the most superhumanness of people, right? When you need to make plays, they make plays. D-Wade wasn't making plays like that no more.
D-Wade was making plays.
Not like that though, Ken. LeBron was at a whole nother level.
I sometimes go back on YouTube and watch those
things. Look, I'm not hating on D-Wade.
You know what?
At all.
Here's the thing. When you say carrying the team, I'm thinking of what he did in Cleveland the last 2 years.
When I say carrying
that's
the team,
carrying the team.
You know what I mean? What I mean by that is that you take that player off the squad, they ain't doing what they did with him. That's carrying the team, Ken. You take LeBron off, they're not a championship team.
I don't know. I don't agree with that definition. So you carrying think, the so, team so means like he's just doing everything.
So you think if D-Wade wasn't on that team, you think they'd get past Indiana, the Indiana teams that was close, that was getting close to him?
No.
So you think Indiana beat them if D-Wade wasn't on that on the squad?
Yeah, yeah, I think Indiana beat them. But what? when he says carrying the – I hate Indiana. But when he says carrying the team, it means like there's nobody else doing anything.
No, no, that's not what I mean. What I
Your
mean –
Your definition is off.
My definition is not off. Look, so LeBron – B, do you agree with me? LeBron carried those teams?
He was the number one scoring option on that team. He was the focal point on that team.
It was beyond that, though.
But carrying the team, like...
Carrying means everything. That you...
I think he was like... Wasn't he leaning in the rebound?
Yes.
Was he,
look, you are responsible for damn near everything on the court.
But that's just who he is. But he's always been that way.
Okay, but it, but then we can't knock him for that. He carried that team. He carried the team, Ken.
He may have carried Bosh, but he carried Wade. My. He may have carried Chris Bosh. Well,
Wade knew, man.
Mike Miller.
Wade would probably tell you himself. Like,
now, Wade realized that they were bumping heads because they both were alphas, and the only way they were going to succeed is for LeBron.
I don't think that they were bumping heads, Ken. I think that, you know.
He said it. He had to step out of the way.
I understand that, but that doesn't mean that they were necessarily bumping heads, because when you watch them play, that was beautiful basketball.
Oh, it's one
amazing
of the best
basketball.
4 years in basketball history.
Yes, and arguably one of the best duos ever, right? So me and B, right, and I'm not necessarily comparing myself and B to LeBron and D-Wade at all. But me and B got some game. We got some real game. And we met each other young enough, right? But there have been times where I'm like the guy and B understands that. And there's been times where B's the guy, and I'm like, well, shit. And I understand that. And sometimes B carries the squad, and sometimes I carry the squad. But the thing about LeBron, it don't matter who's on the squad, he's going to carry the squad. Because, like you said, that's always been him. His game lends itself to that. And he's greater than D-Wade. If D-Wade was greater than LeBron, then that would have never happened, Ken. That would have never happened. And the fact that D-Wade continued to break down.
Yeah, health was a problem, and it became a big problem during that run. Like I said, he fell apart after that 27-game win streak.
So then
he was broken down during the streak. He just kept playing.
So then my thing is that how are you denying the fact that LeBron carried? When I say carry, it doesn't disparage everybody else, saying that nobody else did nothing. To win games, in the NBA, you still need guys to do things.
They were special when they went up against Indiana. Like, them boys, man, like...
D-Wade did have some bad games against Indiana, though. I'm throwing it out there.
Did he?
Look it up.
I'm trying.
He got the
I'm
big old...
He said,
15-inch iPad over there.
I thought LeBron struggled against Indiana.
Nah, man, come on.
Hold on, man. Let's see. Well, he may have had, like, one.
LeBron was the constant force in every single series.
He had three bad games.
Only three,
that's
huh?
Like 75-80% of the series right there.
Hey, did he really score 4 points?
It takes four games to win a series. He was bad.
Right.
Carry.
In 2013.
I need you to say the word with me.
That can't
I pronunciate.
Right,
carry.
He don't want to admit it. He don't want to admit it. I mean, it is what it
carry.
Is.
Carry.
Told you, man. LeBron had the keys, man. After that, by the second year, LeBron, it was the key. It was LeBron's squad,
man.
So disrespectful.
It's not disrespectful.
Four points in game seven is disrespectful.
That was in 2012, 2013. Yeah, he was hurt that year. Let me see. Let me go to.
Oh, you know who not hurt,
let me
though?
Go to the back.
You know who not hurt, though?
Who?
LeBron.
Let me go to the back to back.
LeBron signing. LeBron signing right Max.
Oh,
deals
yeah,
out here.
Yeah, he got off. And when he was healthy.
Look, he finally.
In 2013, when they went back to back, yep. He only had one game where he scored under 10 points, and he scored 9. But everything else, you know, he got off.
What's getting off, Ken? 13, 14 points ain't getting off, man. That's D-Wade now. We talking like top three shooting guards all time, right?
I mean, you know, Spo was running a different offense.
He's getting excuses.
You know what?
Hey, you know getting excuses.
That's not an iPad. That's just a book of excuses, ain't it? you just flipping the page and let me see which one can I tell people today. Come on, Ken. Come on, man. Come on.
Anyway, I you know what? Look, everybody that's listening, if you haven't, just go listen for my thoughts on this. And it was early. It was an instant reaction. Just go listen to the show I did with Q and Manny. Not much has changed since then except this. I'm starting to wonder if, just maybe if, he can get to the finals this year.
I'm not expecting him.
We
to,
say
though.
That every time he switches teams.
I know.
Teams.
But
Miami, nah, they're gonna need a year to jail. Cleveland, nah, they're gonna need a year to jail. And I know the West is a completely different juggernaut, but there's one person standing in their way. And when you look at roster construction and what they're trying to do,
so you think Houston won't give him a shot?
Nah. Nah.
Really?
I'm gonna tell you, Warriors. I'm not gonna put it on any of the players. I'm not gonna put it on Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka. I think how far this thing goes is all on Luke Walton, because the way this roster is constructed, you're gonna have to play a particular type of way, and that's the only way. Because if you look at the veterans that they got, right? Mm-hmm. They got Rondo, they got Lance Stevenson, they got JaVale McGee, they got who else am I missing? They signed somebody else.
Michael Beasley.
Right.
Got Luau Dang.
He's not playing. He's getting paid, but he ain't playing. Then you got the youngins. Brandon Ingram,
Kuzma,
Hart, Lonzo. You know what I'm saying? So that's a very interesting mix, right? Mm-hmm. Who starts, who doesn't start? What's your play style? Because it can't be let LeBron do his thing and then get shooters open, because you only got like maybe two people on this squad that can really knock down shots like that. So you have a team that Magic is trying to build in a tough identity, right? Like that's the mold. We are going to be a tough defensive-minded team. Mm-hmm. But everybody on this squad could either create for others or create for themselves. That is unlike any team LeBron has ever played for. So it's going to be interesting how they're going to play. Now, I think that they need to obviously play defense, right? They're calling. That has to be the identity. Mm-hmm. I always talk about identity.
And I think it will be.
It has to be, right? But how do they score? I think they got to score easy. I think they got to get easy buckets. I think they got to run in transition. I think when you
Rondo
have
is excellent at
Rondo and Lonzo
and Lance
and Loki, Lance,
yeah,
you see what I'm saying.
And LeBron already stated that he would like to play
off the ball. So I think that if they can get into a run in transition type of team, play defense, we're gonna run, get easy buckets.
Showtime Lakers.
And in the half court, we're going to execute, get it to LeBron. Move them around, get them in spots, get them to pass the rock, move, get the ball back, right? And everybody gets a touch and everybody can create, right? Mm-hmm. I think if they can execute that type of game plan, the Lakers will be formidable. But I just don't know if they have enough overall talent when you look at all of the squads, right? And I think that a big part of it is going to be the progression of Brandon Ingram.
Who has more talent? I do. He and Kuzma. But outside of the Warriors, who else has more talent than him?
Outside of the Warriors? In the West?
Yeah.
I would have to say OKC. They have more proven talent, right? Because Russ and PG, they're proven. LeBron's proven.
Nice.
Who else is proven on that Lakers squad, right? Because we can't put Rondo in that echelon.
Why not? Champion, played in the finals twice. Lance Stevenson went toe to toe with LeBron in Miami.
Lance Stevenson is third or fourth tier.
I know, but we're talking about
and Rondo's like experience. Second, third tier point guard now, right? Like,
but what was he lacking? We knew he didn't have. What was he lacking in Cleveland? Experienced veterans that are
IQ. What do you mean? IQ. He had experienced veterans. Look at the J.R. Smith.
Clarkson. Nance Jr.
And who else? And Ronnie Hood. Those are the only three guys that didn't have experience. Jetty didn't really play
playoff experience.
But everybody else did.
George Hill.
Playoff experience. The man played for San Antonio. No,
I know. I'm just trying to go back through it.
Okay. George Hill has playoff experience, deep playoff experience. J.R. Smith has deep playoff experience.
But
K. Love.
And I mean, George Hill.
Tristan.
Yeah, but George Hill was terrible.
But we're not talking about how good. We're talking about the experience.
He had
guys. They didn't perform. They didn't perform.
Okay. They didn't perform, but I still think there were. Okay, so it's almost.
And do you think that this band of bandits is any better than what he had in Cleveland?
I think a little.
Talent wise?
I think a little bit. I think a little bit.
How many pages in that book, Ken?
I think a little bit more. I think a little bit more. I think. Look, they look like a band of misfits. That's what everybody's saying. But Rondo is an antagonist. You know he don't like Curry. He's gonna get up all of them in Curry's grill. We know what Lance Stevenson is. Excuse me, JaVale McGee. You already know. But Beasley's a scoring machine when he's not high. So, and we know Kuzma. They got the young talent, like you said. Ingram and Kuzma will be key.
Well, here's the thing. I think Kuzma's going to be fine. I think he has old man game already. He has old man game. He's only going to get better. I think Josh Hart looks like he's the real deal. They got Caldwell Pope still.
I forgot about him. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like this squad, that's what they have, like 11 guys that really deserve minutes on any NBA team. This is going – that's why I say it's Luke Walton.
I agree.
Because who do you start? And you know I like to put my GM hat on. I like to put the coaching hat on. I don't know, because I think it's a mistake if you start all the veterans, and I think it's a mistake if you start all the youngins.
You know, clearly they have a plan. We don't know what the plan is, but we're trying to figure out what it is. But I would like to believe Magic, Pelinka, all of these guys, they have a strategy for beating the Warriors. And I think
it's going to take time, though. Yeah, it's going to take time.
You can't do that in 1 year, regardless if you got LeBron. And even if you got Kawhi.
I'm looking at Rondo and the young Gunners. Like, I don't think Lonzo is going to be there by the time the season is over. I think he'll be gone.
You think he'll be gone by trade deadline?
The only way they'll keep him is if they have no intentions of keeping Rondo.
And why? Okay, so let's look down. Let's look down the rabbit hole a little bit. Why would you want to keep Rondo overall over Lonzo?
Because they do the same thing. The only thing Lonzo has is age,
and
a contract.
But I'm saying, isn't that valuable in basketball?
Is youth?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, keep.
I mean, of course, Rondo got that toughness, that dog in him, and hopefully he'll instill that in Lonzo this upcoming season.
Yeah, if he rubs off on Lonzo, great. If he doesn't,
here's the thing: you can't change somebody's personality or character. How they are is how they are. Now, can they improve certain things? Yes,
right.
But becoming a dog, that stuff don't happen. You know what I'm saying? Lonzo is what Lonzo is. The best thing to happen to Lonzo is getting LeBron James. I'm telling you.
It's going to be interesting how Brandon Ingram's going to develop, too. I like to see how he...
He need to be the second best player on that team?
Ingram.
For this season, yes. He has to be. I think, look, and I've been predicting it. I've been on a sports show now for several years. I've been saying it, right? Every time I look at Brandon Ingram, I've told you where I feel he is in his maturation.
Like, is his trajectory, though? Like,
exactly.
What'd you say that window?
3 to 5.
3 to 5, yeah.
3 to 5.
Yeah.
And he's now hitting.
Third year.
Exactly.
His third year.
And if you look at his averages, they're on par with a Kawhi Leonard, with a Paul George, with the Greek Freak. All of these quote-unquote premier wing guys, like positionless basketball guys, he's on pace with that. He averaged 16 points last year. What? You don't think he's going to get 2 extra buckets playing with Bron? He's probably going to get 5, 6. And then you add Rondo and Lonzo to that. I think he should be 18 to 22 a game next year.
Yep.
That's where he needs to be.
Yep.
We know LeBron's going to be 22 plus.
Yeah, he's going to be 20.
Oh, and Rondo will get him some easy buckets too.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think from a scoring perspective and just a utilization perspective, he has to be the second best player on the squad.
Do they need to hit all of the – because we know scoring is a problem. We know the league is a 3-point shooting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't have a dead eye shooter.
They don't.
Caldwell Pope is the best. They need it. Like, did the Lakers, Showtime Lakers, shoot a lot of threes like that? I don't
know. But that was a whole different era.
The game was different.
But what if kind of going back to, like, we're still going to score without having to put up a lot of
threes. But you know what? Back then, though, Ken, all you needed was 1 shooter, maybe 2.
Yep.
That's it.
That's
now you need 3, 4. Like you have to have that type of spacing. Can they win with this squad? Yes, they can.
I just have a feeling. I have a sneaky suspicion they're trying to. While everybody's zigging, they're zagging, and it sounds like everybody's trying to.
In what way?
Because everybody's, we're going to get all these shooters. We're going to shoot a bunch of threes like the Rockets. We're going to shoot a bunch of threes. We're going to score with them. And I think they were like, nah, we're going to get some toughness. We're going to slow the game down.
But the Rockets, see, I don't think.
And we're going to run a gun in spots.
It's unfair to throw the Rockets in there because of the head coach that they got, right? Well, eventually got. You know what I'm saying? Because remember.
But that was an organizational decision, though.
I know. But listen, originally when Daryl Morey was there and they got. The Celtic Hall of Famer, I can't think of his name.
Kevin McHale.
Right? McHale. They didn't play run and gun. They played pick and roll Dwight James Harden. Right? They got rid of McHale. They got rid of Dwight Howard. They brought in who?
They brought in D'Antoni.
What does he do?
He run and gun and shoot three.
But it wasn't because of Golden State. It's because you got James Harden, the best points guard. What's the best coach? Who else were you going to bring there to maximize James Harden?
D'Antoni was a perfect coach. That was a match made in heaven for James Harden when he got there. That's why James Harden had like one of his best seasons.
Exactly. Because the organization did right by their superstar. You know what? Look, we tried some. It didn't work. We tried to make it a duo. It's your squad, and we're going to get you the guy that's going to make it your squad and maximize what you do best.
Go ahead, D'Antoni.
But I also think they added to what D'Antoni does best, too. We know for 7 seconds or less. They shot a lot of threes in Phoenix, if I remember correctly.
Of course. But what did they do in L.A., Ken, when he was the L.A. head coach? What did they do?
They didn't have the players for that.
But what did they do? They didn't get him the players, right? We've been on this podcast for a minute. I told you back then they should have traded for Josh Smith. There's so many trades that they could have made, right, to become a D'Antoni system. I said it back then. If you hire a coach like D'Antoni, you got to play his style.
But how is it unfair to throw the Rockets in there when they're doing what D'Antoni does best and – what he does best is perfect for the league right now and what Golden State does.
Because you're trying to throw them in there like they're only doing this to keep up with Golden State.
They are.
No, they did it because it's D'Antoni.
Part of it is to keep up with Golden State. I think Daryl Morey is on the record with saying that.
Look, Daryl Morey is on the record of saying that it's an arms race. And you got to get talent. But he didn't have to hire D'Antoni.
What talent did he get?
CP?
You know, it's a guards-based league. You know, it's a weapons race in the NBA, and you're either in the weapons race or on the sidelines. And, you know, we felt like this is, with James Harden in his prime and Chris Paul in his prime, you know, this gives us a real shot to chase, you know, the juggernaut teams that are out there and puts us right there with them.
James Harden? Did he not orchestrate both of that?
He already had James Harden.
But he orchestrated.
He got CP3.
He traded for James Harden, Ken.
Okay, but he. Okay,
well,
fine.
So now you're just discrediting Daryl Morey?
But he just said it was an arms race, what, last year?
Yes, and they. The year before, and then they got CP the year after. All I'm saying is this, Ken. You're lumping in the Rockets and trying to play Golden State style, where I'm telling you that they're just playing D'Antoni style. Because if you hot. Ken,
I think it's a little bit of both, man.
Look, I have the prime example. D'Antoni was first hired by the Lakers. They had Bynum, Gasol. No, not Bynum. They had Dwight Howard, Gasol, Steve Nash, and Kobe. Mm. Does that sound like a D'Antoni team?
No.
Okay, so that means that the organization didn't do right by their players. Because at the end of the day, it's up to the GM to make the decision of head coach. And also, if you pick the chef, you got to give the chef the right ingredients. You can't go get a German chef and then be like, hey, man, cook an American hamburger and hot dogs, bro.
You know what? I see what you're saying. You're saying that regardless of the era, regardless of the playing style of today, D'Antoni is going to play this way regardless.
Like Don Nelson.
But, excuse me, but... In addition to that, though, we know that the way that D'Antoni plays and coaches is the way that Golden State has played and the way they've won championships when people thought you couldn't win with that style. So once they figured out that this style of basketball fits what he does best, they acquired the pieces for him to compete, the arms race. So I think that when I say that, I'm throwing them in there because it was like, this is it. We need to get all these people to shoot threes because this is what everybody's doing.
But when you're saying everybody, no, this is what D'Antoni been doing. So don't
it's
lump
almost
it
like
in.
Not like they doubled down because they didn't necessarily double down. They got them the pieces that fit, but like a more athletic Steve Nash, whatever. But it's almost like they added some extra ingredients to make it more flavorful. It's like, well, we already got this great thing that's good, but we're gonna add some extra ingredients to sauce it up a little bit to make it even better. Because we need that to fit in this style, and because this style of play now isn't foreign, then we're just gonna and I can't think of it, augment it even more because we'll be able to compete now because this is all everybody does. They had to compete, and I think that they added all of these extra pieces to do it. I don't know.
I just think that styles make fights. And D'Antoni has a particular style. And if you hire a coach like that, you got to get him his players. Just like if you hire a Phil Jackson, right? Like, you got to get him his players. There's certain coaches that need their guys. So you lumping it into, you know, them just trying to compete with the Warriors, that's why I disagree.
But when he had the Phoenix Suns, what the style of play was different, right? I think you had Tim Duncan, you had Shaq, you had – you know, all these centers and stuff like that.
And that Phoenix squad team could play in this era of basketball.
Right. And
because it's D'Antoni.
But the argument was always, you can't win a championship that way.
Well, D'Antoni.
But you know what? Never mind. Let me rewind it. It was because they didn't play defense.
Yeah.
The difference between
Golden State and that Phoenix squad
is that Golden
defense.
State played defense. And that's why Houston was able to be successful. Because they added a defensive strategy to it, because it's on record that when back in the day when Kerr went to D'Antoni and told him he needs a defensive coordinator, D'Antoni was like, "Nah, I'm good."
Mm-hmm.
But this time he was like, "All right, yeah, I'm good. Bring me in a defensive coordinator." They win 65 games.
Right.
So
I mean, Ken, so real quick, I'm gonna give you the teams in the Western Conference. So you say you think LA can make it to the finals or this year, or just
they
got West
Golden State. And that's, I don't think that's what's going to happen.
So you're saying Western Conference Finals is their peak this season?
Look, everybody watching, everybody listening, this is not my official answer. I'm leaning
pre-season.
This way.
It's your preseason answer.
I'm wondering if this can happen.
Some Western Conference teams. Okay, so you got Houston, Golden State. You got Portland. You got OKC.
Portland's not a problem. OKC won't be a problem.
You got Utah.
Won't be a problem.
New Orleans, I think they're going to take a step back.
Won't be a problem.
San Antonio.
Won't be a problem.
Minnesota. Minnesota.
They have some issues. They won't be a problem.
Denver.
Nah.
Okay, and then the rest of your Clippers. LA won 35-47 this past season. So
I'll
see them making a 15-20 game improvement this season.
Yeah, I'll throw Houston in there because I will respect what they did last year. I thought, even though they lost some key pieces.
Yeah. But I think you also have to respect San Antonio. San Antonio won close to 45 games without Kawhi. Mm-hmm.
That is true.
And they're adding DeMar DeRozan.
And who knows what Pop's going to do with him.
Yep. He's already working with him in the U.S.
USA, while we there, man, Kawhi to Toronto, DeRozan to San Antonio, who would have thunk it? Who saw this coming?
Nobody saw it coming. But, you know, honestly, I like it. And I'm going to tell you why.
Really?
Yes, I like it. I like it for both parties. And let's talk about DeMar first. The reason why I like it for DeMar is because you're going to play for an iconic coach. You know you have a better shot than you did in Toronto.
Yep.
Let's just be honest.
Yep.
Right? Like, this legitifies his stake in the NBA. You got a guy that, you know, in terms of Popovich, he has a head coach that's going to push him, and he's going to extract everything he can out of DeMar. So I think DeMar's going to have one of his best seasons ever. San Antonio, I think
LaMarcus is still up there, too.
LaMarcus is still up there. I think they're going to have one of their best seasons. I think they're going to be a top four team in the Western Conference.
Tony Parker, Charlotte Hornet now.
I know, that's weird.
That's weird.
In terms of for Kawhi in Toronto, this is why I like it. Toronto didn't want to pay or be under DeMar DeRozan's contract.
Right.
I think his time there, we saw what he is for Toronto, right? Like, he maximized everything. They weren't going to get over the hump. And he's still under contract for, I believe, like 3 or 4 more years.
Mm-hmm.
who else was going to trade for him, right? Nobody. Kyle Lowry, biggest question mark to me in the league. I don't even know why or
new head coach.
Yeah. I don't understand why Kyle Lowry is even at USA Basketball. To me, I don't believe in that guy like that, right? I don't think he has the clutch gene. He shows up real small in big moments every single year. We've seen it. It's documented. I don't believe in Kyle Lowry. You look at Serge Ibaka. You look at the rest of that roster. Where's the future? They don't have one because they're built for right now, right? If Kawhi walks... Right, Kawhi, and okay, let's also talk about this. Kawhi is an improvement over DeMar, right?
Oh, yeah, hands down. Yeah.
So that means that you should be a better basketball team. If you're not a better basketball team, you start selling off the other pieces. Mm-hmm. You sell off the Kyle Lowry's, you sell off the Serge Ibaka's, mm-hmm. right? You keep the OG Anunoby's, you keep the other young guy. I can't think of his name.
I know you're talking about.
Yeah, and you keep Van Fleet because you just re-upped them, right? Mm-hmm. So now... You rebuild, and you have all of this cap space by not re-signing Kawhi, by letting possibly Kyle Lowry go. Maybe you might get some bad contracts, but they might be expiring. You never know, some draft picks. And you start building for the future. So I think what this deal does for Toronto, it gives Masai an out. You know what? We brought him in. He's better than DeMar. We got a new coach. You know, it just wasn't working.
He basically created his own extension.
Basically. Look, man, Masai is a very smart guy. I was saying the whole thing, the thing I don't like is the fact of deception. You tell DeMar in his face, nah, bro, we're not trading you. You're our franchise. You're this, you're that. And next week you trade him. I don't like that, right? Because to me, that's not how business is conducted. And I think that for somebody like DeMar to give so much of himself to Toronto wanting to be there, you owe him the professional courtesy to sit that man down face to face and be like, look, we are looking at possibly moving you. We don't know. You know, you have been our franchise. But in all honesty, if there's a better option, we may look into that. You know, and DeMar is signed under contract. He can't be like, I'm going to hold out. I'm not going to play for you guys. Mm-hmm. You know, he may give you a preferred list, but at the end of the day, if we don't pull the trigger, you're still here for an extended period of time. So I don't understand that level of deception in the NBA business. I personally, if I was a GM, I wouldn't conduct myself that way.
But yeah.
That's the only thing that irked me about the trade. I think that it works out long term and short term for both squads.
You know, I wonder if like the deal fell through, then, you know, things are okay with DeMar because he felt that you honored what you said. Kind of like what happened with Kyrie a little bit. Like, you know, he didn't know anything about it until news started to leak out. But then when news started to leak out, then he got a little salty. So, you know, in that respect, I think if news would have leaked out about DeMar, maybe DeMar would have, you know, harbored, you know, harsh feelings against the organization later on down the road, like Kyrie did. So I think there are definitely lessons to be learned. Like you said, just be upfront. Everybody says it. All the basketball players say it. They know it. It's a business. And, you know, just hide behind that. You know, just be upfront and be like, hey, man, if something comes along, then if we get a chance to get quiet, then great. I understand the long-term moves. That's how I look at it with Kawhi. I don't like it, at least for Kawhi, because I think they're just going to be there for a year and then he's going to leave. But in terms of rebuilding, it makes a lot of sense. Everything you just said makes sense. I'm on board with that. He leaves, you just start over. Because
he don't want to play there anyway.
Yeah, yeah. And then you just, you know. And plus, if you're Kawhi, like, shit, you know, man, the East is wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got a better player in possibly a similar system in the East without LeBron. So, and if Kawhi's on that Toronto team last year, would they beat the Cavs? I think so.
Possibly. It's a way better matchup. Right. But I think this begs the question, who's the best player in the East now? Is it Kawhi?
Is it Kawhi? Is it Greek Freak? Is it
Ben? Yeah. I think it's why. Yeah. You know, LeBron leaving. You got Kawhi? You think Kawhi's the best?
Yeah.
I can't really argue with that. But, you know, we haven't seen him in 2 years.
Right.
But, you know, if he's still what he was, I can't argue
that. I can't argue that at all.
I love what it does for San Antonio, though, because it was only until he was like, I think this morning I started thinking about what Pop can do with DeMar DeRozan. And you think about what he did with Kawhi. Kawhi had to want it. Like, Kawhi had to go get better, and he did. But DeMar is going to be motivated.
Oh, yeah.
Motivated to prove them wrong. And with Pop's tutelage and Pop only having two more years left, hey, man, like you said, 49 games without Kawhi, and you're just plugging in DeMar there. They got DeJounte Murray there and LaMarcus. Who knows?
And you know, Spurs always got like some guys tucked in somewhere where you'd be like,
you never seen them or heard of them in all of this. Remember Gary Neal?
Yep.
Like, where is he now?
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? But just kind of moving on. Who is your guys' team that is going to surprise people this upcoming season? Kind of sleepers.
Sleeper team?
I think I have the ultimate sleeper team.
Let me see.
Sleeper team is, like, it don't matter which conference.
Don't matter. I'll go first.
Sleeper as in, like, a team that didn't make the playoffs that's going to, like, make a kind of a push this year? Or, like...
Go ahead, what you got, Rob?
Yeah, what you got, Rob?
Memphis. Memphis has made a lot of moves that I really like.
And it was 22-60 this past season. Wow.
They lost 60 signed games. Kyle Anderson from San Antonio. I like that move for them. They drafted, what's his name?
Bridges?
Dude from Michigan State.
Yeah.
Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yes,
yeah.
Jaren,
yeah.
Hey, look, I apologize to the guys that I said I was going to do the live stream. Yeah, the summer league. Look, life happened, man. Got married, renovations at the house, just a whole bunch of stuff. I had training in Virginia for the job, so I apologize. But I was able to capture or watch some summer league enough to see that dude is for real. I like what Memphis has. You're getting back a healthy Mike Connolly. You know, Mark Gasol is what he is. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Chandler Parsons' contract. But I like the Kyle Anderson move. They got Marshawn Brooks. I like that. You know what? They're more athletic. They got Dylan Brooks. I like what they got going on, man. I really do. I think that they are going to make the playoffs, and I think that they're going to push a contender. Because I don't think they're going to be high, because I think the West is just too damn low.
Yeah.
But whoever they play, I'm not saying they're going to win that series, depending on who they play. But if they play a better opponent, it's going to be 6 or 7.
Okay. On the spot here, let's see who I can find somebody. I'm looking, man. I don't know. I'm looking at Chicago. Do I like
Sacramento,
anything in Chicago?
They going to do anything?
Because I think if there's going to be a sleeper, and maybe it is Chicago. I forgot they got Jabari Parker. They got Wendell Carter. They got Chris Dunn to be back next year.
Wendell Carter's nice, too.
And Laurie.
Wait. Don't forget about the biggest free agent they just signed.
Who? I got Jabari. Who else?
Zach.
Zach LaVine.
He was restricted.
Oh, they kept him.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I didn't.
I didn't really count that because he didn't leave the team. But I got you.
It was a possibility. There was a lot of teams that were interested.
I know. I was surprised they invested in him. I would have let him go.
Oh, you tripping? Have you like? Do you watch Drew League and all of this stuff that happens?
Yeah, Drew.
Oh
yeah,
my,
Drew League is crazy.
Did you see what Zach LaVine did? That man scored like it's so effortless.
He's
for him.
Talented, but he's brittle.
Just because he had an ACL tear?
He's been hurt like twice. Like,
major?
Severe. Yes.
What's
major.
The other one?
I forgot the other one. But I think this is second go round.
And it happens.
But you don't
give up on that type of talent, man.
I feel you.
Still jumps out the gym like he did before.
He does.
You know what I'm saying? The jumper looks wet. And his body, he's starting to mature as a man. And what the. B, enlighten the people. What's that time frame? As to when they become all-stars and superstars and all
three
that?
Three to five window.
Where he at, Ken?
He's in that window.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you took Chris Dunn. Zach LaVine, Jabari Parker,
Laurie,
and Wendell Carter. That five with the right. Now, they need to. Now, no excuses for the coach this time.
No. But here's the thing.
Because who they coached? The guy from Iowa. I know he coached that.
Fred Hoiberg.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I think success for Chicago is just make the playoffs. It don't matter if it's eight. It doesn't matter if it's three. It don't matter if you lose in the first round.
You got to make the
playoffs. You got to make the playoffs.
Yeah. You got
it's
the talent.
It's wide open. And you got talent.
Yep. So let's see. I'm trying to see what their bench look like, but I can't pull it up.
I
think they got something. Raul Alkins. I know they just signed him. But anyway, let me go back to what is it, Twitter. Shout out to SPR300 who sent us a list of stuff that happened while we were off. We already talked about Kawhi, the Lakers. What you guys think about Kevin Love? We don't have to spend long on a lot of these.
Signing that big deal?
Yeah. Right, yeah, move for them to invest.
I wouldn't be
him?
Surprised if we start seeing a Minnesota Kevin Love. Well, not per se the numbers, but, you know, of course he's going to be the guy for Cleveland now. I mean, his numbers are going to jump up a little bit as far as points and rebounds and everything else.
Remember
but,
K-Love, the 30-30 K-Love?
I don't think we're going to see that K-Love, but I think, you know, his numbers definitely going to bounce up from what they've been the past four seasons. So.
We need to see that K-Love.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you mean the Minnesota? The Minnesota K-Love. Oh.
Show them that you can play.
Yeah, I mean, show you signed that big deal. Yeah, you healthy? So.
They talked a
lot. I don't know. I mean, I think he's going to ball, but I don't know if he's going to be that Minnesota K-Love, the 26-13 a game K-Love. I don't know if we're going to see that. But, I mean, you're right. We do need to see that. But, and he got the talent to do it. I mean, you know, the players. He got the good point guard, one man from Alabama.
Colin Sexton.
Yeah, he got him mm-hmm. over there. So.
How's he looking?
Ooh, that, hey. Hey.
Yeah. Hey.
Nice, yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
If I have to say, look, I think he's the one guy that's not going to fail. I know that much. Yeah. I know that. It don't matter who you with. Steph Curry, come here, boy. Mm-hmm.
Trae Young
really
and all them. Oh, he's going to take it to him. He's going to take it to him.
I watched him
boys.
In college, man. Oh, that boy.
Summer League. Summer League.
That boy's official.
Like, yeah, he showed out.
I didn't see him in Summer League. I saw a couple of highlights here and there, but I didn't see all the games. But he got off.
That Summer League, he showed out.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, you got him who's ready. And then you got K-Love, you got Larry Nance coming back. So they got some things that they can work on. They in you know, salary cap hell, but.
But, you know, I think the deal doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be in Cleveland long term. I think you can also flip him and get some draft picks.
Especially start balling, yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think, look. For a team in Cleveland's position, it's all about flexibility. And even though, obviously, K-Love is eating up a big part of your salary cap, it still allows you to be flexible mm-hmm. because you can move that. You know what I'm saying? You can get draft pick. And look, this upcoming draft is where you want to be. You want at least one top 10 pick in this draft right here.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot coming. It's a lot of one-and-done guys that's going to come out. Coming to the league this year, man. Jesus Christ. Duke got like four of them.
Yep.
What about Dwight going to Washington?
Did you see why he said he was going there? He because said it was because of John
Wall.
But you see what John Wall texted him?
No, I didn't see the text. I just saw the DM.
He was saying, hey, man, LeBron going out to East. Now he's like, let's go ahead and let's take this East. He said that he sent that text to Dwight.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That man just.
I still think they're missing something.
I think so too. I think they still missing something, man. Like,
I'll put it to you like this. You know who I think is.
Because Dwight had a pretty good year this past year.
He did.
Double-double.
His problem is the locker room.
Yeah.
That's his problem.
But that locker room's already messed up, so it'll fit right in.
Yeah, I know, right? You know who I think that if financially, I don't see how it happens. I don't think Washington has the assets to acquire this one player. But if they get this guy, they're the best. They're a top two team, top three team in the East. If they can get Blake Griffin, if Washington can get Blake Griffin
to add along with what they already
Dwight,
got,
Dwight, John Wall, Bradley Beal, everybody else is expendable. That's a problem.
I'm trying to think who a Pistons want to get from that, from Washington.
Probably Kelly Oubre or Otto Porter. You're going to have to trade Otto Porter because he just resigned, so he has a bigger deal. I don't know what else. Honestly, and that's why I say I don't know how you can make it work.
Yeah.
But if I could just pick any one guy, right, like to help them because I they're still missing something, I think Blake Griffin can help them out.
Melo, man. Melo, and they re-signed Capella. But Melo to the Rockets.
You think I think he's going to start or you think he's going to come off the bench?
He's going to start. D'Antoni, first of all, everything, I didn't know this, but I'm hearing it over and over again. He doesn't like confrontation, so he ain't going to mess with that. Mm-mm. He's going to start. Mm-mm. He's going to start. So,
so with that starting going to be CP3, Harden, Melo, Capella, and who they center? Is Nene still playing?
Capella's their center. I don't know who's playing they four. Obviously, Ryan Anderson's still under contract, but at this point, he's damn near unplayable.
They said somebody.
So is Eric Gordon going to start? Or
I don't know.
But it's a ball head guy.
Oh, yeah, PJ Tucker?
Yeah.
See, but you know what? I honestly.
He might be their three. That might be the three. Melo might be the four, and Capella might be the five.
I was
going to
say, I like Melo at the four on this squad. And Melo's just going to have to toughen up, man. Look, you older, you don't want to come off the bench, but you got to play the four. Like, your best position, to me, is a bench four, right? Just like USA basketball. Mm-hmm. You come in and do what you do for USA basketball on any NBA team, it's a problem. But if you're going to start, it has to be at the four. You got to toughen up. You got to play against the bigger guys. We got Capella back here. You know what I'm saying? And I think you either start Eric Gordon or PJ Tucker. It don't matter. But yep. I think playing Melo at the four is imperative for Houston's success. And I think Melo has to understand that you're going to primarily be catch and shoot. You're not going to be catch and hold because the two guys that's going to have isolation is going to be James Harden and CP. Mm-hmm. When they give you the rock, it's for you to score. It ain't for you to try to score. Mm-hmm. It's for you to score. Right. So you need to put up the ball. And I think he needs to be okay with that. If he's not okay with that, then I think he's going to be one of the best basketball players to not bow out gracefully, man. And I think it's kind of sad if he doesn't, you know, fit into this situation.
Right.
Do you think they took a step back?
Yes.
Come on, Houston.
Yeah, overall, yeah. I think they did. I think the people that they lost.
Trevor Ariza, that's a key figure that they lost.
They just signed somebody. Who was the guy that they signed? It's not he's
not Capella, right? I know he was shopping around a free agency, but Houston, they still got him. You said they just signed him. Houston did.
Yeah, they signed him after they lost.
Trevor Ariza.
Yeah, but it's not on here, so I can't find it. But I thought this was interesting. So everybody's talking about, or everybody speculates about what LeBron was going to do, or who he signed with, without actually hearing it from the man.
James Ennis?
Nah.
No. Michael Carter Williams.
Who else?
RJ Hunter. That's the only other people that that you would have mentioned.
Was it Michael Carter? I doubt it would be.
Mute.
And by Mute.
Yeah, and by Mute.
Okay. Shit, excuse me. Yeah. But I thought this was interesting. I haven't seen this yet, and I'm surprised nobody's talked about it, but LeBron actually said he considered going to the Rockets and the Sixers. Like, everybody was speculating and, you know, kind of saying, oh, Rocky, he never considered them and this, that, and the other without actually hearing from him himself. But he actually said it.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So
yeah, I think, his considers was Philly, Rockets, and L.A.
And those were the words out of his mouth.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's not surprising.
Yeah, yeah. But does it surprise you, though, Ken?
It don't surprise me.
No, it doesn't. It's always good to hear from him instead of sources.
Right.
You know, because they you know how they are. They make a lot of stuff up.
Of course they do.
You know, and it kind of gets a little irritating over time. But
it's not surprising because I think, you know, as we covered it as well, we noticed that obviously the Houston move would have been to play with CP, right? Like, they've been talking, you know, the Banana Boat game, been talking about playing together.
Right.
So that was obvious. That's the only reason why Houston was even in consideration, right? Mm-hmm. I think Philly had to be in consideration, not only because of Rich Paul, but because, you know, Joel Embiid looking like the second version of Bakeem. I just sent y'all something on IG. Check that out. Also,
I saw the headline, too.
You know, Ben Simmons, Rookie of the Year. The real deal. You talking about the most triple doubles as a rookie, or second or third most, whatever. He's top three in triple doubles as a rookie, so he's only going to get better. You have to consider that, and especially because you've already dominated the East, why not join the squad that's about to dominate the East, right? So that was understandable, and I think everybody kind of understood LA as well, just because of the empire that he's been able to amass, right? Like, he wants to be able to further his life after basketball. And what better place to do it in LA? And also, what better place to win? If he wins, does that not put him into a different territory? What other player has won a championship with three different organizations and been like, I'm the best guy, I'm the reason why? It hasn't been done.
It's going to be a fun 4 years, man. I'm excited. Like, because I didn't know, like, just to see what happens. Mm-hmm. LeBron in LA, you know, like, I like speculating. I like theorizing and doing all this stuff. But sometimes you could only go so far with that. But when it happens, and when I was like, man, LeBron in L.A., ain't that some mess? Like, Showtime with Magic's tutelage. Like, mm-hmm. we've talked about him not having an experienced coach. Mm-hmm. Imagine having not only a champion who's been in non-finals, who can kind of relate to – you know, even though he has two more wins than you, when you watch him from afar, you'd be like, man, if he just does this or if he does that mm-hmm. or if I was in charge, now you are. Mm-hmm. So now you got LeBron and you can mold mm-hmm. LeBron and build a team around LeBron in your likeness of what you envision he can be mm-hmm. or what he's missing, that nobody else has done it because you've done it. You've played with the greats. You're a legend yourself. So that's what I'm excited about. We know what LeBron's going to do. What is Magic going to do? What is Palinka going to do?
Who's doing
Kobe's
it.
Guy?
They doing it. Damn.
But what's
Josh Hart? Kyle Kuzma.
Year two, when you got that money, when these free agents come off the books, you bring back. Year two, who are you going to go
who
get?
You gonna get? Yeah.
No, you know what? I definitely
think about
agree.
That for it.
But this is what makes the Lakers scary, right? I think they're legit scary year two because. We named three youngins, mm-hmm. right? That we know that can play. Whether they're with the Lakers or not, they get moved or whatever. We know they can play. We know Josh Hart can play. We know Kyle Kuzma can play. And I don't know if y'all agree with me. I know Lonzo can play.
No, I don't agree with you. So go ahead.
Okay, two out of three.
Yeah,
I'll take it.
I think Lonzo. I'll
take it. You add. Let's just say, right? Just throwing names out there. Let's say you add Klay Thompson. And okay. Let's say you add Kawhi to that mix. That's a major problem.
Because you're going to have the money. Yep. And you got those guys on one-year deals. So
that's a major
you'll
problem.
Give up a Rondo and a McGee to get Klay Thompson.
Yeah. And Steph. Yeah. And Lance Stevenson. Yeah. All that.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And I still got Brandon Ingram, LeBron.
Kuzma.
Yeah. Kawhi, Klay, Lonzo.
That's scary.
So next year, and look, man, Magic ain't stupid, man. He told you the game plan. He said it's a 2-year plan.
Yeah,
we got the big fish this year, which is gonna set off everything in motion for next
year. They know they're not gonna go far. You know, they know
And Max, right. And they're savvy. Wait, before you go, extremely savvy. What did I say when LeBron came back to Cleveland? Don't trade for K-Love. Sign K-Love outright. Keep the young talent and add to it.
Yep.
But what did they do? Got hasty.
Yep.
They traded all the young talent. Can you imagine? Like Wiggins isn't the main guy on the championship team, but playing with LeBron?
Yep.
You talking about a guy that can go guard KD? We talking about, imagine in that first year, right? Because they made the finals the first year.
Yep.
Imagine if it was LeBron and Wiggins. Yep. Everybody else get hurt. But imagine if it's LeBron, they would have beat him with a rookie, right? But that's neither here nor there. Let's digress. The savvy of Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka, you ask, what are they doing? They've been at work. Because now, by not trading any of your valuable assets, your young players, even some of your draft picks, I think they may have a draft pick from another team or so. If not, you know, don't shoot the messenger. They're not giving up the young talent. That's so crucial. That's why I asked you, like, between Rondo and Lonzo, who would you rather keep? I'd rather keep the young, talented, cheap guy. That's who you want. You don't want the knucklehead, doesn't get along with any coach, stubborn veteran guy. You can walk next year, bro. I'll keep Lonzo. But I love the fact that they still have the young talent, and they're not going to give it up to go get another big name.
I thought that was huge. I thought that was the smartest thing Magic has done all season.
Let's not try to go after that, yeah.
Especially with what the Spurs were asking for.
Right. Three players, two draft picks? Right. Three draft picks? Nah, bro. Right. Hey, hey, Kawhi, nice, but we good.
Right.
We want to come here anyway. We see you next year, bro.
Kawhi said the rumors are out. Mark Stein reported that he wants to go to New York. Been telling y'all, man.
Kawhi Leonard does?
Not Kawhi. Did I say Kawhi? Yeah, I mean Kyrie. Kyrie.
Yeah, remember. Yeah.
Kyrie. Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I can see it happening.
Told y'all they're gonna get him. He's gonna get him up out of there.
Yeah. Get. Look, man. Look.
Playing at the Garden every night. You know what I'm saying?
That's like, that's super huge for his brand.
Man. Yeah. You know, like I said, I didn't know he was from there. I didn't know he was from that area. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Grew up in Jersey.
Yep. I didn't know that.
I mean, he was used to losing anyway before he got LeBron and before he got with Brad Stevens and that Boston organization.
But here's the thing, though.
But with Kevin Knox and 3-6 Latvia.
3-6 Latvia.
And Kyrie.
And Jimmy Butler.
Yes. And you add Jimmy to the mix.
And the unicorn.
That's and wait. Who's running the ship over there?
Steve Mills.
Yes.
No. Wait, no. What?
Coach wise.
Oh, okay.
Fizdale. Yes. Fizdale. Coach Fizdale. You already got a solid coach in Fizdale. No, he's already coaching there.
Fizdale. I heard.
Yeah, Fizdale. Yeah.
I heard Thibs.
Oh, no. Fizdale.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We said this. Hey. New York is going to make a splash next summer. I'm trying to tell you.
They get Kyrie.
Oh, they're going to get Kyrie this year.
And Butler. Yeah.
Ainge is going to trade him.
No, I don't think he's going to trade him.
Why not? You can't let him walk.
You can't. You know why, Ken? Because look, just the same way Magic is playing the long game, they do. And I think if they win, I don't think Kyrie walks. But I don't know.
Kyrie's out for himself.
Exactly. Kyrie's a different dude, so I'm not gonna put it past him.
I got another chip. Yeah, I'm gone.
Exactly. But I think Danny Ainge is smart. Don't trade Kyrie. You know why? Because look at all of these youngins you're gonna have to pay, dog. You won't have to pay him. You won't have to pay Jason Tatum. You're going to have to pay Jaylen Brown. They got 3 first-round draft picks in this draft. That's super low. You're going to have to start paying guys out the yin-yang. You cannot afford Kyrie.
Boston. I know. Shit, man.
So you let him walk.
Why not trade him for more draft picks? Isn't that his thing?
Because
They got enough.
Like, you're going to have to start paying guys for real, man.
Okay.
So, look. If they trade anybody, I think they trade Gordon Hayward. If they trade anybody, I think that's the guy.
Nah.
Yeah, I think they're gonna kind of. Jaylen Brown. I think.
Because what are you gonna get in return? It's not the same.
No, he's I think Gordon Hayward is more. It's gonna be more of a trial and see. If Gordon Hayward kind of starts have a decent season, I think they can. And when trading block come, I think they can be like, hey, look, you know, Gordon Hayward's back. He's healthy. Mm-hmm. What y'all want for him?
What? Like, look. It's gonna be. The type of player going to
you got Tatum, man, in this spot. You got somebody you can
and Jaylen. Yeah. You got two guys.
So you straight.
I think the reason why I'm picking Gordon Hayward as the potential trade asset is because you really don't need him. He's under contract for a while, and there's going to be a desperate team, right, that feels that they're on the verge, a la Washington, that may just give you the house. You know what I'm saying? If you can pull off another heist like that, get maybe a third team involved to get you the draft picks that you covet, you know, I could see that. I could see that happening.
I see a lot of teams getting stupid now, thinking that they can pull off an OKC. Shout out to Sam Presti. You did that. I was on you, but you did it. Now you got to do something about Billy Donovan. But
oh, you're on a short leash.
Gotta be. Excuse me. But yeah, his plan worked. Will Toronto's plan work? I don't know. But because two teams have already done it now, I can see another team like, oh, we can get Kyrie and sell him on our culture. Don't do that. Don't do that. That'll be a mistake. But you know, people like to follow, and somebody out there, like you said, will probably get desperate and they get fleeced. Just a couple of more, and then we get out of here because, you know, a lot is happening, and, you know, we got time to get to whatever we didn't cover, or we just pick up with whatever's going on. But Draymond and Tristan.
You believe that? I think that's fake news.
Draymond has said that it didn't happen.
I think that might be fake news.
Draymond denied it. He put it on Snapchat. He said, I've enjoyed all stories and talk shows over the last couple of days. Them joints inaccurate, though. All right, carry on, my people. Nah, keep the parade. That city won't have any for a while. I forgot LeBron left. I don't know what to believe.
Has Tristan said anything?
Will they say anything, though? And that's the thing. But it's a crazy story, though. And why would you put that out there? Like, who would run that risk of putting something like this out?
I don't know.
Something happened, and maybe he didn't get punched. Maybe they're sensationalizing it a little bit. But I don't know, man. Like, oh, now they're saying it wasn't a punch, it's a face mush. So
yeah, you know. It's so much. Yeah.
Anyway, if he did, that shit would have been dang, I keep cursing. If he did, that would have been awesome.
I guess Draymond was like, I mean, Tristan was like, I ain't having it. You ain't about to diss me again.
Yeah. So
I come on, man. Does Tristan really look like that type of guy? I've been to Toronto now. I know what them guys is like.
You know what? I don't know, but if, you know, maybe he felt slighted and maybe now this is my chance to,
right,
to get back,
right,
and kind of.
Because I've been getting clowned on social media and all that stuff.
Get some honor. So, but, you know, either way it go, like, I didn't get too much caught into it because we don't know if it's true. Like, we don't have any facts. Right. We don't have any video. Right. We don't have any audio. So, either way, LeBron and this school, we may talk about this on Is the Mic Still On, but,
you can touch it here too.
Yeah, but either way, man, like.
That's dope as hell. I love it. I love it.
Amazing.
I love it, man.
Like, basically, you are guaranteed an education. Yes. Just go to school.
For underprivileged kids, man, how dope is that? As an underprivileged kid, you have that opportunity like that, man. Someone like that that you probably looked up to and just like creating this platform for you. And like, who knows what's going to come out from these kids, man. You could be the next doctors, next president, next whatever. Who knows what story we might hear from a young man 15 years from now saying, hey, I came from the I Promise School that LeBron created. Like, I think that's so dope.
And don't we always talk about it, like, on Dead End Sports when we talk about, you know, social issues and commentary and all of that, how we got to change the future for kids, right? Mm-hmm. Because some of us are it's just a wrap.
And also, shout out to Jalen Rose, too, for creating charter schools in Detroit, too. Mm-hmm. So,
But, you know, like, we got to change the opportunities for these kids because it's literally a trap.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And LeBron has given them a legitimate way out.
Yep.
A legitimate way out.
Because all LeBron had was basketball.
That's all he had. So
he's
giving y'all an opportunity to make some of yourself. You know what I'm saying? I that's huge on the level that he's doing it. Because shout out to
Jalen Rose.
Jalen Rose. Yeah. Even Derrick Rose came out with a scholarship charity type of thing. It's like $400,000 to go to college. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So to me, that's huge, man. I think that's the biggest way that guys in these positions can give back. But to do it at the magnitude LeBron is doing, you know, come on,
that's
man.
Crazy.
And with education, like, and there's this discussion that's taking place about whether or not education should be free, and for him to offer that up, you know, to give, you know, black youth or kids in general a chance is huge, because a lot of these kids, sometimes that's all they want. We know there's plenty of smart kids that just get caught up and don't have a chance or an opportunity. And we always look at stars and be like, oh man, you got all this money. You guys can be helping you can pay it forward, right? And he's doing it, but he's doing it in such a smooth way, in such a smart way. And this is how you change generations. We're behind. We all know that we're behind because of slavery. And one of the things that we're behind on is education. And we get the shittiest, the worst education because, they tend to move out of the neighborhoods and you know, there's plenty of stories. You guys can find this stuff. Just go Google it.
And there's not enough money going into schools, too. Yeah. Right. Going more into prisons than schools.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
And then what if LeBron, right, like, just projecting in the future, what if people start to move to Akron, right, for this program.
Yes.
So that means that you, in the future, have boomed the economy of mm-hmm. Akron, and Akron could possibly become like some big time school city. You know what I'm saying? Like college town. You know, so it this is going to have a lot of implications mm-hmm. as the years progress. It's not just for the kids. Like, this is huge for the city.
Yeah, and who knows who's going to follow through, right? Who's going to do the next? We got Oprah over there in Africa building schools, and she's not, last I checked, building any here that I know of. Mm-hmm. And if she is, I apologize, but I haven't heard of it. And but here's a guy who's, like, taking care of you know, his people, right? And this is how you do it. This is how you change generations. And God, there was something else I wanted to say about it, but I just
did Jordan need something like this? I mean, as much as kids and stuff getting his shoes, like, did he ever do anything?
I know what I was going to say. This is how you beat the man, right? The man being white supremacy. Not white people, white supremacy, right? For all my you know, white fans out there, shout out to y'all. but now, this is how you do it, right? You build within, you start with the youth, they grow up, you know, they go out, they do better, they be better, and become educated, come
they
be
do the same
and,
thing.
And it grows mm-hmm. from here. And that's all he's doing. So it's not all about always just giving money or giving handouts. This is about, you know, the old saying, you know, you're teaching them how to fish, you know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But if you want to help fight, like, the injustices that's happening to us, we got to improve our situations. So this is one way to do it. And then, you know, they go out and be better. And then they start caring about their community. Like, man, like, this is just – it's just incredible what he's doing. And I think, like I said, he's doing it the right way, and people are watching, and other people are going to do it. And I'm glad you said that about Jalen, because I think he felt some kind of way that when
LeBron said it's not a charter school, it's a real school.
Oh, he did? LeBron say that?
Yeah. You didn't see the interview with Rachel Nichols?
Nah, I didn't get a chance to watch it.
Okay.
Yeah, I will, though, before the week is out.
Yeah. So I thought that's what you were going to allude to.
Because I think – I heard Stephen A. Smith shout out Jalen.
Yeah. And Jalen did this – decades ago, yeah. like in the mid 2000s, he started this up. So yeah, I mean, of course, because it's Jalen Rose, and you know, of course, the magnitude of the
platform,
right, yeah. The magnitude of the player.
So it kind of felt like, and I got to hear, I got to hear how Jalen said it, but he felt like slighted that, you know.
But he gave him props though, like on this.
But you got to,
yeah. I mean, he commended him.
But it's, you know, it's like, man, shout out to LeBron. But I was doing this years ago, like, you know,
yeah.
It could have been that thing. I haven't heard it, so if it wasn't, you know, whatever. I apologize, but no, I mean, look, I'm already in discussions with the missus about opening a charter school myself, you know, in our area, because you know they're moving out, like the white people in my area are moving out, they're leaving. You know, my city, and they've created a whole other city, you know, that they're going to. And I told her family, I said, we're not shopping there. I said, no, we're not going to give them the money. We're going to keep the money right here in our city that they decide to leave.
Right.
But yeah, we started talking about creating a charter school because, you know, this is not the platform. It's the Mike Salon. Watch it. I get into some of the reasons why there.
While we're still on topic, though, I think another big thing that LeBron is doing is the GEDs and job placement for parents. So it's not just about the kids.
Yeah.
It's all getting involved.
He's helping the parents,
you know what
too.
I'm saying? So even if you're not working, if you're not educated, don't worry about it. This is for everybody, right? So there's just so many layers to it. You know, free lunch, free bicycle and helmet. Like, man, it's just touching so many things that a black or an impoverished minority community needs, right? And I think that if more athletes, groups of athletes could partner up and provide more of these opportunities, it would serve the minority community well.
And I think they will. And I think LeBron just became one of the most dangerous men on the planet.
Yep. Yeah, he did.
Protect this man at all costs.
He sure do.
You know what this move just brings to like the forefront of my mind? What was that newscaster that said that he should just shut up and dribble?
The chick, yeah. Ingram, something Ingram. Yeah, I think Laura Ingram. Yeah, yeah.
Like, really? Like, he should just shut up said, and dribble, huh?
Right.
She still think that. You know, she still think
that's
that.
One of people still go back and listen to that episode. That's still on Is the Mic Still On?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still doing a lot, some pretty good numbers.
LeBron shutting up and dribbling there? Nope. Yeah.
Last thing, and this still has to play out. Did you guys hear about the Urban Meyer thing?
I just heard about it like this afternoon when I got off work. I was meeting and was texting about it. Like,
yeah, it's
somewhere was like a coordinator of his or something like that. That was
Zach Smith. Yeah. Apparently was abusing, yep. You know, domestic abuse allegations, abusing his wife and
Urban Meyer say he didn't know anything about it. He would have fired him, but they pulled the receipts up on him.
Yeah, and apparently his wife had been texting with Zach Smith's wife, who was getting abused, talking about she's scared of him.
Yep. And he didn't do nothing about it.
He didn't do anything about it. So they're kind of alleging that he covered it up. And Urban Meyer is one of my favorite coaches.
Really?
Yeah. I love Urban Meyer, man. That's why I love Ohio State. I've always been a fan of Ohio State, even when Jim Tressel was there. But when they got Urban Meyer, man, I loved Ohio State. This is just terrible, man. I hate to hear this.
Me too, about to get him.
Yeah, man.
You think Ohio State gonna fire him?
Got to. Man, look at the times that we live in, dog. Like,
wow.
I don't look.
Urban Meyer out of Ohio State.
This is very touchy.
He's on paid leave now. This is still developing. We don't have all the facts. This is just what we know now. But go ahead.
I think this is very touchy because, you know, what you do in your home. You know, it's kind of like in Luke Cage, right? Remember when Luke Cage came in, busting down? He said, look, this is my kingdom. Whatever happens within these four walls, I have the right to it, right? And I think that another man meddling over there or even firing, that's tough. I understand why Urban wouldn't have done it. You know what I'm saying?
And the guy's the son of his mentor, so there's also more of a personal connection there.
So, I feel that it's unfair for Urban to get the brunt of this because he's the head coach and obviously the biggest name in it.
Yeah.
And he will.
Because some people look at it like you covering up. That's almost just as bad, if not worse, than the actual doing. Because it's like you turning your cheek for something that's going on. That's
they say bad. The cover up is what gets you in trouble.
Yeah. Yep. Man. Yep. That's true.
But I see where you're going. How is he responsible for another man's household about what's going on? Like, so it's like, oh, I'm gonna fire you because you're abusing your wife,
right?
It can get complicated, you know, because imagine if every organization does that. Now that would be, you know, who knows what impact that could have on society.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe a lot of people, less people would get their ass whooped.
So let's say Urban Meyer goes to the AD and says, hey, look, man, I know there's certain things happening on and you know, my assistant coach is home. You know, I've tried to talk to him, but, you know, the wife keeps saying that XYZ is happening. So let's say the AD doesn't do anything, right?
Right.
Then the AD gets fired in this too. Or let's say that the AD does do something. Then what happens to that dynamic in that marriage? Does it get better because he got fired?
No.
Like you see?
Yeah.
So it's like I feel that these instances, because they're so personal, it's a catch-22. I don't think that there's not a right answer for anything.
And with Sandusky and what went on with Penn State, that's different because it was directly involved with students.
And Michigan State, too. Yeah, the Michigan State situation, too.
But this is, you know, like, what, I'm not saying that she's not getting abused at all.
Oh, she is. That much we do know.
The receipts is up,
That much we do know.
I don't know, man. Like, I just think it's so.
But what responsibility does Urban Meyer bear
in another man's household?
Because of that, yeah. You know, so I don't know. It's complicated. It's still playing out. Will they fire him? They might feel the pressure too, but I don't think they are. It depends on how much he knows, but I don't think they are.
Think about the backlash, though, Ken. If you don't.
At some point, somebody's going to push back against all of this stuff. I mean, we already saw the Brewers did it with Josh Hader. They were like, yeah, we're not going to suspend him.
Yep.
Now,
everybody's
going down. Sean Newcomb, Trey Turner.
Yep. Talking about the tweets and stuff.
Yeah, Sonny Gray. Like, all of this stuff is coming out. Like, everybody's digging in their tweets. And they were like, yeah, well, they were young and they didn't know any better.
17, you 17 years old, yeah, you know better. Yeah. You know better. I don't give I don't take care what you 17 years old, you know better.
That's
you know enough.
Point.
Right. You know enough. If you when I was 17, I knew enough. You knew enough from what was right and what was wrong.
And I want to have that discussion.
They acting like they were 6 years old or something.
Yeah, like we're moving the goalposts in terms of maturity.
Yeah,
age.
That's what I'm saying. So 17 years old, you know what's right from wrong clearly.
Yeah, I know.
You're damn near about to vote, so you know.
We've had this argument before. Yeah. On is the mic still on about the bullying thing? We're like, oh yeah, you know about saying the N word, but yeah, I think we're in this. We're in a PC world, man, where some of the things that's going on are no longer acceptable. But what happens when it's a coach of his stature, a coach that can win a national championship every year?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to find a way to retain this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he will be retained. I think he will be. Like people said, it depends on how bad he covered this up. And I know, everybody like, you can't compare the two. Well, yeah, I am, because one is directly involving students who were abused, sexually abused, and the other involves somebody's household.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I know right now, she doesn't work for an organization. She's not a part of an organization. The guy is, so I don't know, man. It's dicey. But we just have to see how it play out. I feel bad for her. I hope she gets removed from that situation, and this Zach guy gets help, because clearly he needs it, because apparently this was going on in 2009. And if you have to text Urban Meyer's wife and say, I'm scared, I'm terrified,
right?
That's pretty serious. Mm-hmm. Like, she probably could, and maybe that's where they could draw the line, but like, you know what? She probably could have died, and you know about it. It's been going on for almost 10 years. That's almost a decade. And what if she would have died and you knew, and a woman lost her life because you didn't step in? But again, to FIFO's point, what if you let him go, and he blames her, and then something happens? I don't know, but it's developing. We'll cover it here and there, as we move on. It's going to be a talking point, I'm sure, with college season. And that's it. I wanted to give you guys some Major League Baseball news, just weigh in on some of the trades that happened, but I don't have my notes. But one thing I do love about baseball is that when the trade deadline hit, man, they be willing and dealing. And so many teams.
One day, they just everything. It'd be a whole bunch of stuff going on.
And that's what makes it exciting, because I love it, because they don't mind trading players. And I think what's funny is that there's never like this big backlash.
No.
Like everybody was like, oh my God, DeMar got traded for Kawhi. Right. And like the big news was Manny Machado, of course, I was being traded before yesterday. Bryce Harper was on the deadline. They kept him. And the Yankees made a lot of power moves, on their end, to get some guys. But there's never this big outrage because of a superstar player getting traded to another team. Like, is that's unfair, or, they gave so much to that organization.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just par for the course. Like, it's just business when it comes to that. So I thought that was a little bit interesting, even with, kind of with football. I thought that was interesting, just kind of seeing, because people get excited. People love to see who's going to get who. So, I think we're running a little long, so I'll probably jot down some notes and do a quick rundown before we get into next week's topic. So, so that's going to do it for us, man. Like you said, we've been off for a month now, and we're just getting caught up. So I know we missed some stuff. We didn't even talk about Boogie. What's up with Boogie?
Yeah, I know, right? Going to Golden State.
Look, how you feel about that? And then
other teams didn't want him. They didn't want to take a chance.
He got offers. It's not like he got the 40-year $2 million. I mean, two-year $40 million. You know what I'm saying? Like he got other offers. My thing, it made me angry, Ken. It made me angry. It was only one reason. It's not because of who he went to. Mm-hmm. It's just because his value is higher than $5 million.
Five point three.
Yes, yeah. His value is way more than 5.3 million. And again, I work in sales. I look at numbers, profit, bottom lines, EBITDA. I look at a lot of numbers, and sometimes that's just too good to be true. His value is way too high for that. You know, so that's the only reason why I have a problem with it. Because if you're,
but I guess coming off of Achilles, though, I mean, you know.
No. Even look, B, ain't nothing guaranteed, right? Like, it's not guaranteed that he's gonna come back and even be half a Boogie, right? I'm not saying that he's not. I believe he's gonna come back and still be the same guy. But there is a but. There's a possibility. It's not guaranteed. It's a possibility that he either gets hurt again or he doesn't get
They use the injury to depress his value.
I think that's
and that's and look, and even if let's say he would have signed, you know, a 2-year contract or 1+1, like all of the other Lakers outside of not named LeBron signed, right? I get that. 15 million, 20 million, whatever. 5 point I'd smack somebody, man. It just enraged me because the reason why there's these financial rules is to set a value price. Right. And not everybody is supposed to be able to acquire a valuable asset for a reduced cost. It doesn't happen at this point
even
in a player's
career. Even if the
player
himself set that cost, though.
Yo, if I'm his agent, I'm like, bro, what is you doing? What are you doing?
So why didn't the Pelicans offer him a deal?
So the rumor has it that if AD wanted him back, that they would have re-signed him. That's the rumor out there that I've seen. Okay. At the end of the day, look, I know he was offered at least one or two other contracts more than 5.3 million. That's all I know. And for him to go there, his prerogative, you do whatever he wants. I actually want to see it. Boogie's one of my favorite guys. I definitely want to see it because I don't think we've ever seen a squad that has a stretch five.
No.
And you have a squad that every person can pretty much do what every other person can do. Grab a rebound, take it down, make a high basketball IQ play, whether the pass, the shot, the pull-up, a layup, a dunk, an alley. All five of these guys can do that. I don't think I've ever seen that. Like, we're in an era of positionless basketball with air quotes. This is the first time that we're going to truly witness that from 1 to 5. We've never seen that before. So that's why I'm so interested to see it, but it made me mad because – the Warriors, as constructed, should not be able to afford it.
Right. All of these players. Yeah.
That's why I'm angry. You know what I'm saying? Just because for Boogie's sake, you're worth more than that. You should get paid worth more. It makes me mad to today, Ken.
Yeah, the balance of the NBA kind of tipped in one way, and then just like that, the Warriors got it right back. Mm-hmm. You know, not saying that LeBron going to L.A. would change anything, and they were, I mean, clearly because of the roster that they have, they weren't going to be able to beat, you know, the Warriors. But when they added AD, we know they're not going to be the Warriors. We know no one is going to be the Warriors on paper right now. So it's just talk about the Pelicans, man. Like, they lost Rondo. They lost Boogie. Like, they just – completely lost everybody. If I'm AD, I got to get out of there. Who referred to Boogie as the enemy now? So that's going to be interesting. But man, yeah, like when I saw it, I was like, I think the only thing I said, the Warriors are turning into the Yankees. Yeah. Like they're getting off, except they don't have this, like the Yankees in baseball, there's no ceiling really. You can spend as much as you want. They have one and they still getting these guys.
Exactly. You know what's interesting too? Colin had this on, I want to say maybe a week or two ago, where the just total sports teams value. Mm-hmm. You know Golden State's in the top 10 now?
Really?
Yeah. I want to say they're valued at almost $6 billion now. $4 to $6 billion. They're a top ten valuable franchise. Yep. And just think about how many years of ineptness of and then all like this, boom. You up there top 10? That's crazy.
And it's not like good franchises can sustain it.
Exactly.
Have they created a formula to sustain it, or is this just their window? Like, that's what we – I don't know.
Formulas don't last forever. That's number one, right? I think number two is that this is their window, and they swung and hit a whole bunch of home runs, right? Like, Steph Curry was the biggest home run for them. Without Steph Curry – their evaluation, how many championships, mm-hmm. how many straight finals, that doesn't happen. They had to have landed Steph Curry, right? And also be ballsy enough to draft Steph and ship out Monte. Let's not forget Monte Ellis was an all-star caliber guy.
I saw him dunk on Barbosa. There was a mm-hmm. old clip that was on Twitter.
Yeah,
so he was that guy. They got rid of him.
He was a mid 20-point a game scorer.
Monte Ellis got off,
and then they let him go. Yep. Right, I think him and Steph played 1 year together. Then they let him go. Then who did they draft? Klay, another swing out the fence. Right, and I remember watching Klay early on. I'm like, who the hell is this? All he can do is shoot. He couldn't do nothing else. He couldn't stay on the court. This man was an amazing shooter as a rookie, and guess what? He couldn't even get on the court. Because the rest of his game was so bad. So for him to improve to where he's at, and then also the formula, right? Like to put all of the extra juju on there, the GM, the head coach, the system, all of that extraness to extract that out of him. And then let's not forget about the second round pick and Draymond. Right, they swung and hit every single time. Ken, the only other GM, the only other franchise I've seen do that was OKC.
You know what? Yeah, they did. And I think what they've done, and this is why I think maybe it is a formula, because the Lakers used to just sign everybody, right? We'll just take a superstar.
Not necessarily. The Lakers always drafted two guys.
They did get to – yeah, but they got to a point where we were just – You're going to come play for LA at some point.
Of course, because the guys that we drafted are that damn good, right? Like James Worthy, they drafted James Worthy. They drafted Magic.
Yeah.
So they drafted a lot of their talent, but then they got, of course, big name free agents.
But, you know, Boston, of course, they had a winning culture for years. That was old NBA. But, excuse me, we've seen these franchises being able to find something that works, right? Mm-hmm. You obviously need to be able to draft well.
Mm-hmm. Very important.
And then you got to be able to sign, and then you got to get the right coach. So there are certain organizations that are able to do that, like Chicago never recovered.
Nah.
Right? They got Derrick Rose, and then they kind of fell back off again because he got hurt. Mm-hmm. So, but then you look at San Antonio. Like, they had Tim Duncan, David Robinson. He left, and then they got Kawhi. Drafting well, winning culture. We have a way of doing things around mm-hmm. here. Popovich is the key. Mm-hmm. He's going to make all of this work, so he's the formula. Mm-hmm. So has Golden State figured out theirs where we'll just sign everybody if that we can afford, and we don't care who you are, and player mobility is the thing now. Go give us Boogie. Give us everybody. Mm-hmm. Just give us everybody. It's 2K. Mm-hmm. Just give us everybody. Give mm-hmm. us KD. I don't care if we went 73-9. Give us everybody.
Yep.
It's an arms race. That could be their thing moving forward.
Do you think it changes the NBA?
I think it could. I think, yeah. And I think LeBron was – Boston was like the pioneer mm-hmm. when they got their big three.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron mm-hmm. took that, remixed it, and mm-hmm. said, nah – I'm going to make that choice.
Mm-hmm.
And now Golden State is like, oh, well, player mobility. Kevin Durant, you want a chip? Come over here.
Mm-hmm.
Come over here and play with us.
Because
mm-hmm. we don't have egos. We just want to win.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, but the reason.
And now Boogie.
Yeah, the reason why I'm asking if it changes the NBA is because you obviously have all these guys, right? Are we going to get away from a salary cap structure in the NBA? Are we going to go unlimited funding?
I don't think Silverman wants. I think he can't afford to take that risk. He's going to say all the right things publicly,
mm-hmm.
but he knows that in terms of power structure in the NBA, regardless of his history, this isn't good because it's rare you have guys like a LeBron that can just dominate a league or a Kobe. Kobe needed Shaq. Or let's just say LeBron and Michael, right?
Mm-hmm.
Coming to NBA and they are the NBA
mm-hmm.
and they just dominate. And then you have a team like the Warriors that Yeah, they and I guess you could, maybe Curry was kind of that guy, but he still needed all these other pieces to make it work. He still needed the Clays and the Drays.
Yeah, to be able to extract the maximum potential out of him.
Like,
right?
Yeah, he didn't have the Kobe, LeBron, MJ type of
Because he's not
talent.
It's
not talent, but
athletic ability.
Yeah, exactly.
Size.
Yeah.
Right? God-given.
AI could only go so far because
of
his physical limitations, right? But he still was electric. But
let me pause you right there.
Yeah.
Right. It goes back to my theory of how you want to construct a basketball team, right? Like I always say, you draft a little guy, the next guy got to be a big guy because the little guy can't physically impose his will. So you draft a Curry, right, to protect him, right, against all of these other point guards. You had to go get Clay. You had to get
Draymond.
Yeah. You know, you had to go get these guys if that's how you're going to build your team. When you get a guy like LeBron, no matter what you get, because he could guard everything.
Yeah, MJ was a dominating force.
Exactly.
So
he could guard 1 through 3.
Who's next? Like when LeBron is gone 4 years, right? Is it going to be Ben Simmons?
He's not going to be gone in 4 years.
Okay, 4 or 5 years. Whatever. Is it going to be Ben? Because we know this Warriors dynasty is what? Maybe 2 years, right? So they'll be done. And then it'll be who? Who's the next big guy that's just going to dominate the league regardless of championships? Mm-hmm. Is it Ben Simmons? Is it Embiid? You know, we thought it was going to be AD, but he's not the guy.
Yeah, he's stuck in the
because he can't elevate that team beyond.
Mm-hmm. No matter how good he is.
Yeah, beyond the roster and the way the roster is made up. So, I don't know. So, could they have changed things? Possibly, because they're just signing everybody. And maybe everybody decided, or maybe everybody be like, we're going to do a combination of both. You know, we're going to be LeBron and Golden State. We all just going to get together and just go play.
But when I asked that question, I was more so trying to get to the financial aspect of the NBA. Do you think that it changes how the NBA looks at its finances, right? Where they say, okay, we're not going to have a salary cap, but you can't sign more than 3 max players. And a max player constitutes this amount of salary. You only have 3 open slots. Now you can sign whoever else for however much, right? But everybody else is slated at this price and under. You know, you can sign 3 max guys, and you can only sign people for $15 million or under after that.
That could be interesting.
But no salary cap, but you can
this your is caps the are the 3 max guys.
Yep.
And you can add on, but then you run into a situation where you got the boogies of the world. You know, the mercenaries. You're going to have mercenaries.
And then what do you think happens to, like, you know, the Charlottes? Like, how many people actually want to go play in Charlotte? Right. So it makes it interesting. It really does. But I think that the NBA needs to look at the way that their business model is right now in terms of financials. And I've been saying it for years because of all of the talent that's going to be coming circulating through the NBA expansion. I think that if you give players more destinations to play in the NBA, I think that you can even out the talent pool a little bit more, right? So, I don't know. I just think that everything that's happening currently, like, the NBA has to look at it. And not saying that it's a bad thing or a good thing, but it's just something that you have to look at when you have legit 5. Like, look, man, we've never seen a starting 5 like this before, ever.
No. And this is what that would sort of look like.
Yep.
The Warriors would look like that. 3 max players and then mercenaries. Like Boogie just was like, I'm going to go get me a chip. That's all he said. I'm just going to get me a ring. They're going to win it anyway. Why not?
Let me heal on up and then come back in the most crucial point of the season.
Yep. I'm going to get me a ring. Then I'm going to go get paid. Right.
Yep.
People have said that. People are throwing that idea that LeBron should do that. Just take whatever and just go get a ring. So, but now when you have a team that's as dominant as the Warriors, and you can just go do that, that's what they're like. Yeah, I'm just going to go get my ring and be done with it.
Yep.
Forget it. And then next year they're not going to win it because it's going to be LeBron. That's going to do it for us. We got to get out of here. We'll catch you guys next week. Peace.
Do this for forever, man.